gospel that we just heard is a very interesting one to hear on this night when many of us are gathered for a rather ancient ritual of receiving ashes to begin Lent. And what the gospel is really saying is that it's very possible for us to just engage in certain rituals, but not really have either an understanding in our heart or even the right intention in our heart. Well, it's Ash Wednesday, let's run and get ashes. But what really do these ashes signify? What is the real meaning of what we do? It's fascinating to me how we can so easily engage in ritual behavior without sometimes ever really thinking of the significance. And I'll give you one of the biggest examples is marriage. Couples stand right here at this altar and they say some really powerful words. I take you to be my lawful spouse from this day forward. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And then 5 years later, those words almost seem to, where were they, you know? Well, I don't know, Father, you just say those words when you get married. Do we ever really think? And part of the reason we spend 6 months getting couples ready for marriage is that we're trying to say, do you know what these words mean? You're about to say some words that actually mean something. They're not just ritual words that you say in a mindless way. But in fact, are words that actually mean something. And so it is today, maybe not in quite as significant a way, but every one of you will come forward and receive ashes on your forehead. And something will be said to you that means something. These words that will be said actually mean something. It is not just a ritual that we just do because we do. Now there's two different formulas that you might hear tonight. Some of you might hear the formula, turn away from sin and believe in the gospel. Did you hear what those words said? They mean something, don't they? Turn away from sin means turn away from sin. Stop sinning. Repent. Cut it out. Believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? It is the good news that the Lord can completely transform us. That the Lord can help us not only to stop sinning, but in a more positive way, to become the very holiness of God. It's one thing not to hate. It's another thing to actually love. It's one thing not to be greedy. It's another thing to actually become generous. Do you see what I'm saying? Turning away from sin isn't the whole story. It's receiving a new life. So listen again to these words. Turn away from sin and accept and believe the good news that the Lord can utterly change you into the very holiness of God. Some of you tonight will hear these words. Remember, O man, remember, woman, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Those words mean something. Listen to what they mean. They mean this. You are going to die. You and I are going to die. Just taking all the varnish off of it. We've taken all the flowers and putting them away and just looking at the bald-faced reality. You're going to die. What are you doing to get ready to see God? What is it that you and I are doing? Do you have a plan for your life that is getting you ready not only to die, but to see God and to be judged by Jesus Christ? The Bible says that we must all render an account for what we have done in the body, whether good or evil. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I sometimes say at funerals what I'll say now, and that is many Christians today, when it comes to the death of a loved one, miss a step. They forget something very important. Very often we will hear at funerals that, well, so-and-so is in a better place now. So-and-so is with Jesus. So-and-so is in heaven. We pray. But brothers and sisters, the Christian tradition says that that is not all we should do when someone dies. The Christian tradition says that we ought to pray earnestly for people who have died. Why? Because once again, the Bible does not say, first you die and then you go straight to heaven. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and render an account for what we have done, whether good or evil, that everyone may receive their recompense, their repayment from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that if I die tonight, and I'm not planning on it, but if something happens, pray for me. As far as I know, I'm not aware of mortal sin, but it's a pretty awesome thing when I think of appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, and all the games are over with, and all the little lies we like to tell ourselves, oh, I really didn't mean it that way. It's all over with, and we stand, pardon the expression, naked before the Lord. And it's not just the things that I may have done, but how about, come on church, can you join me in this? All the things I should have done. So, tonight, we rehearse our own death. Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you will return. You are going to die. What are you and I doing to get ready for that inevitable day that may come when you least expect? Yesterday, right here in this very spot, was a casket of a young man named John, 21 years of age, who died in an automobile accident. Tomorrow is not promised. So at the beginning of Lent, we are reminded with a very solemn and rather somber warning that our life does just not consist about joking our way through, laughing our way around, and goofing off and having a good time, but that in fact our life really consists in getting ready to go and see the Lord. So tonight, two things that you will hear as ashes are put on your forehead. One of those two things will be said. And those words actually mean something. In the gospel tonight, Jesus warned the people of his time that it's possible just to pray so that you can be seen praying, just to give alms so that others will say, "Aren't you great?" It's possible for us to go through ritual things and not really understand or think about what we're doing. And so tonight, the invitation that the Lord is giving to us is that we really listen carefully to what this Ash Wednesday ritual means. A final thought for tonight, based on the second reading, about the urgency and the task that is before us in Lent. Paul begins by saying, we, namely himself and Silas and Titus and Timothy, we are like ambassadors of Jesus Christ. God himself appealing. That's a strong word. Beseeching, begging, exhorting. We, as Jesus himself, appealing. We implore you, we beg you, on behalf of Jesus himself, be reconciled with God. You hear the urgency? Paul is pleading, and he is saying that it is really Jesus who is pleading through him. So, can I be Paul for you tonight? But even more importantly, can I be Jesus and beg you to be reconciled to God? Now, when I stand before a crowd on any Ash Wednesday, I think that there are usually three sorts of individuals who are before me. There are the faithful who are here every Sunday. And then there are some visitors who, because of the later hour, may come to this parish for Mass, but normally are in another Catholic parish on a typical Sunday. But they are faithfully in God's house every Sunday. And then there is a third group, people who almost never find themselves in God's house, except on Ash Wednesday, maybe Palm Sunday, maybe for the funeral of a friend or the wedding of a friend. Can I implore you, if you're not faithful in being in God's house every Sunday, could I even beg you to be reconciled to God? Do you understand that the Lord did not request that we be in his house on Sunday? He commanded it. Keep holy the Sabbath. It is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. For this reason, the church teaches that it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. Some people have told me they don't know what that means, mortal sin. Let me make it plain. A person who commits mortal sin and dies unrepentant goes to hell. It is a very serious matter to intentionally and habitually miss Mass on Sunday. I beg you, I implore you, I plead with you, get right with God. Be reconciled to him and follow his commandment to be in his house every Sunday without fail. It is also said in Scripture by Jesus that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Some people say, I don't need to go to a church to pray. No, but you do need to be in God's house to receive Holy Communion. And Jesus says that if we are not faithful to to the Holy Communion of His body and blood, the Eucharist, that we are dying spiritually. It is a terrible sin to commit spiritual suicide by not eating regularly. I implore you, I beg you. And to those of you who are here every Sunday, I thank you for that witness. But all of us who go to church know every Sunday that that isn't just some magic bullet. That all of us are struggling to hear God's word, to keep the commandments. There are some who come to church every Sunday, but who have not been to confession in many years. The Lord here too has set up confession and expects us to use it regularly. All of us struggle with some things. Maybe some of us are struggling with our anger. And because of it, we're difficult to live with. People have to tiptoe around us because we are so volatile. Some of us in this church may struggle with chastity, with living our sexuality in a chaste and pure way. Some may struggle with pornography or with premarital sex or with adulterous behavior. Again, some of us in this church may struggle with greed. We hoard what we don't need, and we're very tight-fisted when it comes to being generous to the needy and the poor. There are many other issues. Some of us are carrying bitterness and resentments. Some of us are unforgiving and harsh and critical. Not in a loving way. There is a time to go to a loved one and to warn them about their sin. But sometimes we're simply being harsh and argumentative. All of us are being exhorted tonight, including your preacher. Christ is begging us to be reconciled to God and to one another. And when, the text goes on to say, when, in an acceptable time, says the Lord, I have heard you, and on the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now, not tomorrow, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yesterday, in this very spot, was the casket of a young man who was driving home late on last Monday night. And he never made it there. He died in his automobile. Pray for him. But none of us are guaranteed getting home tonight ourselves either. None of us are guaranteed making it through the night. Tomorrow is not promised. I am so glad that you're in God's house tonight, so that we could think together and pray together. Not an easy message. Sometimes people want to just come to church and just have the preacher jump up and down and shout and be happy. But there's just times where the preacher has to enter in to what the Lord is saying in the readings and plead and exhort and beg. Tonight is one of those nights. But I want you to know, I am so happy that you are all here tonight, that we are all here. And I, as your pastor, love you. And what I've said tonight, I have said in love. And I am listening to what I have said for myself. Because I, like you, need to be reconciled to God in important ways. So tonight, in just a moment now, we're going to bless ashes. And you're going to come forward. And you will hear words. Listen to these words. They mean something. Don't worry about which version I use. Oh, he said, I'm dust. Does that mean I'm going to die soon? I just alternate back and forth between the two. It's not, oh, she needs this one or he needs that one. It's not about that. I just alternate. But both these verses that are said are very important that we listen to. very carefully. It's so easy just to say, Ash Wednesday, let me go get ashes and come away unchanged. Don't do it tonight. Leave here changed by what you experience. Amen.